Okay, Connie. So from your bio, I've noticed that you have had such a perspective theology.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Your sound is cutting out.
Oh, is it? Uh-oh. Let me try that again. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, I wonder why I turned my fan on. I have my air conditioning going, so I'm hoping that that's not affecting the sound too much. Are you still able to hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So based on your biography, you've had pretty much a diverse educational and career journey. So tell us a little bit about who you are, where you started, and where you are now.
So, my name is Connie Latorco. Currently, I am a health information management student with the CDED. I am currently in my third year, just finishing up my practicum. My second practicum, I actually finished tomorrow. And yeah, I hope to write the national certification exam in October and then start my professional career in health information. Before that, like you said, I have a lot of varied interests, but I never had any strong career interests. I just kind of wanted to keep learning. So I started out in university doing microbiology at the University of Calgary. I did find it really interesting, like family and pressure and stuff. Like they wanted me to go to med school, not something I was interested in. I respect doctors so much, so I know that's not something I could do. So I still wanted to do something working with patients directly. And so after university, I went to a massage therapy college, got a diploma there, and I worked in that industry for a number of years. I gained a lot of really good experience how to work with patients, like charting and documentation. And then I got married and started my family, and then I wanted something with more stability and with benefits. And so I did the Calgarian thing, and I went into oil and gas, and completely different experience. Never really worked in an like 9 to 5 office before. Luckily, I had really good connections, so I started out, doing accounts payable. So learning a whole side of like accounting and finance I'd never had any exposure to, which learning new things is what I enjoy no matter what I'm doing. So that was interesting. I was able to move up to a supervisory position, and then I went on mat leave, and I just you kind of reevaluate things, right? Like what you want to do after that break from work. So I didn't want to do accounts payable anymore. I didn't find it diverse enough. I didn't find that, it was just too routine for me. And so I had requested to put a transfer in to business systems. Thankfully, they accepted it. And so I started as a business analyst. And really, like that, up to that point, like that was my favorite job. Like everything I learned in that position, I carried forward to everything else that I did. So I worked as a business analyst until I had a pretty serious health crisis. And so at that point, I had to have emergency surgery, and my health was really poor. At the time, my daughter was very young. And so I stopped working for a number of years, and I didn't really have the confidence to re-enter the workforce. I actually had no intention of doing that. I was going to be content to be a stay-at-home mom and, like help my family out that way. But as my daughter got older, and she's like in high school, just seeing her study, seeing her excel in school, like I just kind of missed that challenge, like missed that routine. And so I decided to go to the CanScribe Career College and do medical transcription. One of my friends had done that a few years earlier and told me about it. And I was always interested. I put it on the back burner. I thought maybe I'll look into it. And so it was during the pandemic that I finished that course. And thankfully, I was able to find a job when so many people were losing theirs, like doing remote work safe at home. And again, being able to be in, like, even if it's like a medically adjacent field, like just working in healthcare, listening to people talk about what they're going through. And it was, I found it rewarding. Like, I found a job with Acuity Solutions, not as a medical transcriptionist in what people think. Like, not, I wasn't listening to dictations. I was actually joining the doctor virtually in patient appointments. And so really being able to interact with the doctor and even with some of the patients directly, gaining a lot of experience that way at a level that I never had with the massage therapy. And so I was thinking, instead of going back to alternative therapy, maybe more mainstream healthcare is what I'm more interested in. And that's when I started looking at other jobs that I could do. I looked into medical coding first because Acuity had just acquired a medical coding company. And I was thinking of maybe I could apply for like a Canadian branch of that. But in my search, it talked about health information management. Of course, coding is a large part of that, but it talked about how you can do, data analysis and business analysis for healthcare. And I'm like, this is perfect. It's like my favorite job in my favorite field. So pretty much by the end of that month that I discovered it, by the end of, it was like August 22 that I applied for the college, was accepted. And I've been having a really, I mean, it's always challenging to work and go to school, but I mean, it's been really, I've been finding it really enjoyable. All the subjects I have, the ones that I had a little bit of background in, I developed like a much more solid foundation in that. And I learned how to apply it in a totally different way, which I thought was amazing. And then now I'm in doing my second practicum and just being thrown into an environment where I'm free to use all the skills and all the knowledge that I learned. It was really rewarding because, you get close to the end of your program, you're like, what am I going to do? Did I really learn anything? How capable am I? But I think I proved to myself that I can at least start in the position and keep learning, but I'll be on solid ground.
Thank you. I think one of the good things about healthcare is that it's so diverse. So I think, with the diversity of skills that you've had and that you've acquired in past positions, I think that you'll find not only is it transferable for whatever position you first land in, but then as you sort of move throughout your career. What was it about business? You kept mentioning that business, being a business analysis or in business analysis was your favorite job. What was it about that that basically sparked your passion?
What I really liked about it is that you get to learn aspects of all parts of the business. You work with every department, learn their workflow, and then integrate it all together to, help them discover what technology, what applications would best suit them, how to customize it for them, and just like make everything more efficient. And so I found it really rewarding because no matter who you were helping, everybody was learning. Everybody was learning to cooperate together. And then you were making their lives easier, not just at work, but like helping them achieve that work-life balance. And then if everybody can come together, the satisfaction level of everybody involved just goes up. And it's so rewarding to see that.
How do you think that those skills that you've acquired are going to be transferable to health information?
Even as a scribe, like the logical thinking that you use in business analysis really did help because as a business analyst, you really want to anticipate what people will need so you can come up with solutions to help them in their job. And it was really the same for scribing because you'll start your day maybe like 20 minutes, half an hour before the doctor, he'll go through all the patients. And then you try and set them up with all the information that they'll need, all the test results, like everything that will make their visit go faster. as you get to know the patients, you kind of know their personality and know what kind of questions they'll ask. So you can sneak in, links to certain information that you know they're going to ask about, so the doctor doesn't have to do it. And yeah, the first doctor I worked for, she ended up being the only specialist in that field in the entire hospital. There were previously three. During my time there, it dropped only to her, with the patient load just increasing all the time. There was so much pressure on her, she would be crying during the day. But to have her say, like, I helped her stay in that job, I helped her, like, achieve some semblance of a normal life, like, that for me, like, really brought together everything that I liked about business analysis and, like, massage therapy, like, every job that I had.
That's amazing, and that definitely speaks to who you are and to your character to be able to create a workflow that obviously worked for this physician. Talk to me about, you mentioned, or you just briefly mentioned that in your role as a medical scribe, unpack that for me. What does a medical scribe do, and what does your day look like?
Right. So, as a medical scribe, it's a field that is really grown in the US. As far as I know, in Canada, with Acuity at least, not many doctors have got on board with it. But you as a scribe are trained for about, I think it was almost a month with the company, just learning about, like, medical terminology, like your grammar, dictation, and all those things. And then you're partnered with a physician. You get to know a lot, as much as you can, about their specialty, about their preferences in charting, what kind of documentation and like patient education they like to give. And yeah, you just prepare everything for them. So there's soap notes. Yeah, you'll fill in before the appointment, you'll put in all the assessments that they'll plan to do based on the complaint that the patient has, the previous test results that will be relevant to that visit, and then the treatment plans. And each doctor follows their own style, like how to treat patients, what they find works for them. And so you create those templates and you put them in, and then you customize it as you go. So as the doctor is talking to the patient, you in real time, you're there pulling out all the relevant information, charting it, putting it down, making sure you have all the little details, which is another thing that I really like, because it's one thing to get the gist of the conversation, but to get their exact dosage of medication the last time they had it, when they got injured, circumstances around it. And all of that information is so important, but it's so difficult for the doctor in their 15 minutes with the patient to be able to record all that accurately. But it's so important for the treatment of that patient later on to, like, have those little details. And so to be able to do that for the doctor, give them and the patient a little more peace of mind, knowing someone's taking care of that for them, like, that's what I really like about it, and that's what I find is my favorite part of the job.
So now you've piqued my interest because I'm a very visual person. So I'm trying to envision this. So I think I'm hearing and maybe seeing in my head is instead of the doctor. So here, when you go to the doctor, he has his little EMR, or his electronic medical record, in front of him, and you're telling him what's up, essentially, why you're there, and he's typing away at the same time. What I'm envisioning is the physician is then able to focus on the patient or the individual that's in front of them, and you're on the back end entering all that information.
Yeah, essentially, that's just it. And again, every physician has their own preferences, but the ones that are really engaged in, like, eye-to-eye patient contact, they're the ones that will let you handle most everything. Like, they'll let you order all the tests, the imaging, the medications, even. They have to approve it, of course, at the end. But just for them to allow you to do that and show that level of trust, it feels really good to know that your hard work earned that trust. And now the doctor can just focus on the patient. And because The doctor's not distracted hiding behind a screen. The patient opens up more, and and the more information the doctor has, the better they're able to create an effective treatment plan for them. So, to be a part of that is really rewarding.
It's exciting. I don't know if we do that here in Canada or not, but it's very fascinating. The only question that I have is you said you do that in real time. So what does that look like? So I'm a patient in a room with a physician. Where are you?
Well,
Obviously you're virtual.
So the doctor will either have a laptop or a tablet or their phone, and they'll just place it like on a table or next to the patient, or they'll hold it, and so you just pick up everything that where I work now, they introduce you to every patient at the beginning, and yeah, just let them know that there's a third party capturing everything. So yeah, to the patient, you just look like a little, piece of technology that talks to them every now and then. So it's pretty cool.
That's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that. So how then, based on the role that you're doing now and your schooling for health information, how do you see the two merging? Like how has being in the program of health information helped you in your role as a medical scribe?
It's actually really helped me through my practicum right now. So the company I'm doing my practicum through is a medical technology company coming up with new software applications to just empower patients to be more involved in their healthcare. And so I'm actually involved in the design of the product itself. And so it's called compliance by design. So part of health information management is you learn about regulatory compliance. And so you learn about, Privacy Act, PIPEDA, HIPAA for the US. And so combining that knowledge with my clinical knowledge, I was really able to let the developers know what the framework they had to work inside of in order to remain. To ensure that they kept all the health data private and safe and like secure, while at the same time letting them know what the clinical workflow is for data. So, because how, I mean, it's like that for every job, right? Like how, if you look at a piece of art, a musician will see it differently from an artist, from a dancer, right? And so like a developer sees the task of collecting data and storing it really differently than from a clinician's perspective. And so being able to let them know, if you do it this way, it might look nice on the screen, but it's not functional. Anything that you provide a doctor, if it doesn't help their workflow, if it doesn't make it more efficient, they won't use it and they shouldn't. So yeah, it really taught them to shift their perspective, and they really think of the goal of what they're doing and why. I think the biggest thing I helped with is, I mean, do you, like, there's in healthcare in IT, there seems to be a really antagonistic relationship, and it seems to be universal, right? So the providers tend to see IT as a hindrance, like something that they, an additional task they have to do. Now they have to remember passwords. Now they have to have a key card, and they don't necessarily know why because they were never told. It's just additional things to add onto their already overwhelmingly busy schedule. And then at the same time, IT looks at doctors and are just like, why can't they even do this? Like, we're not asking them for much. And there's just a fundamental misunderstanding between the two. So for me to be able to tell them, this is what a doctor's day looks like. This is how difficult it is. This is how much they have to multitask. This is the amount of out of clinic hours work that they have to do. So, if they are your target consumer, I mean, make the product work for them, and then, let go of all these preconceptions that you have about doctors being stuffy or egotistical, and at the same time be able to tell the people who are working with the clients, the doctors, there are limits to what technology can do, especially when you have to abide by regulatory privacy laws. So just tempering everybody's expectation, giving them a realistic view of what's possible, and then teaching them to like respect each other as people and not worry about what, you know, what their professional title is. Like, just think of them as everybody just wants to do their job the best way they can. And it actually really helped. Like, a lot of the animosity, like, the both of the sides had, kind of went away, and they saw the person, not the profession.
I love that, seeing the person and not the profession. And
Yeah.
that conversation we just had leads really nicely into my next question. You mentioned that you want to be seen as the bridge between healthcare providers and IT developers, and you went ahead and explained that nicely. So my question was going to be, and if maybe there's more that you can add, what specific challenges do you see with regards to that? And then how do you see yourself operationalizing or being that bridge?
So in like in healthcare facilities, doctors' offices and hospitals, traditionally IT has been really deprioritized, and so they're not given the budget, and they are not given the acknowledgement and respect that I believe they've deserved. And then it kind of creates the snowball effect, you know, without the budget to hire, you know, like security professionals, you get situations like Change Healthcare, or like how smaller hospital systems and even larger ones have had so much of their patients' data stolen, uploaded to the dark web. Now these patients are worried about, you know, identity theft and fraud and things like that. And I mean, if the two professions could get along in the development process, and these applications can be developed with privacy in mind, because traditionally, you know, the tech company will make the fanciest, the fastest, the most efficient, the greatest application, and then they find out about regulatory compliance, and then they have to turn it back, or, you know, and then do all these patches to now make it compliant. And so you end up with kind of a, like, not, it's not the product they intended, and it's not as secure as it should be. And so if you let them know the expectations right away of what needs to happen for, you know, proper monitoring, like, the proper safeguards that need to be in place, and then they work inside there and make the best product they can while staying within those limits, because it does limit how flashy you can be, but then it's much more likely to be safer, you know. And then seeing it that way, and just incorporating their knowledge right into the product, and then at the same time educating the provider, you know, while it's being built, having them involved in the process. I mean, now the provider feels like this application, this new technology is actually being made for them. I was actually a hospital patient during the time that Epic was launched, like change, like yeah. And so I had appointments with my doctors that were an hour long. 20 minutes of it was consumed by them trying to figure out the new EMR, you know, because they weren't involved in the process. It wasn't made for them. It was not efficient. It was not intuitive for them, but it was intuitive to IT, you know. So, I mean, if they had someone in health information management being that bridge, it would have been better for them. It would have led to a much better patient experience. And then I believe with that kind of workflow, with that kind of positive patient response, and that, and the easier time that the physician will have with each appointment, that would naturally lead to more gratitude for the IT department. It would just like help that whole relationship. But yeah, because right now it's so siloed, it's so fractured.
This isn't a question that I was going to ask initially, but it sort of sparked when you said that you were also a patient. Do you find that being a patient has changed the way you view healthcare and health information particularly? And if
Yes,
so, how?
it definitely. So, like, unfortunately for me personally, but like fortunately for my job, I have been in and out of the hospital for various reasons. My first major health emergency, I found out I had genetic heart disease. I required emergency surgery to have a pacemaker put in. And I saw just how important it was for information to flow from specialist to primary doctor to another specialist to ER. Because without that, because of how my health was, I would have died, you know? So just having that perspective of the urgency of having to have a cohesive medical record that's accessible by everybody within your circle of care. I mean, that's something that I always keep in mind because it's not just the patient that's affected, it's their family members. You know, it's the downstream effect. If something catastrophic was to happen, just how many people, you know, would be involved in that. So that's a huge thing. I mean, I'll tell you because you're getting to know. But the thing that happened to me a couple years ago is that I was admitted to a day hospital program at Foothills Hospital for mental health, and that was when Epic was launched. Thankfully, at that point, I was much more stable, and it didn't really matter that half my appointments with my doctor were taken up by something else. But the other people I was in the program with were in a much more serious and much more urgent condition. To lose that time with their doctor was terrible and could have had, like, really, not even exaggerating, like, life-threatening consequences. And so what seeing how frustrated the doctors were getting just trying to do their job, and how that affected my interactions with them, and how that could affect that, how that really could have affected my health if I were in a, like, if this even happened, you know, 2 weeks earlier, you know, that really stuck with me. And that's something that really motivates me to make sure that, you know, efficiency is key, and, like, you know, keeping data workflow accessible and, you know, efficient. Like, that's like one of my key driving factors.
Well, first, I'm sorry to hear that, you know, you're dealing with health issues. And I appreciate you being open and transparent about it. I won't use it to like in the article anyways to but I mean, I'll hint at the pieces that I think that are important. Like you said, the efficiencies, the, you know, being able to have that connectivity with, you know, your, you know, emergency physician, your physician specialist, like that. Like, I think that's important. But also seeing how, or at least listening to how deeply that's affected you and has impacted you insofar as you now wanting to affect a change, I think is very commendable. And especially in terms of health information, I think, you know, the more of these interviews I do, I've recognized how little, and I don't really want to say little value, how health information sort of takes a back seat to all the other flashy things, but is really the glue to almost everything that happens in healthcare.
Like, one thing that really shows how important, like, patient access to their own information is that another separate episode where, like, I was struggling with my health just after my daughter was born, and nobody could really figure out why I was having the symptoms I was having. I was saw a like quite a few specialists, and at one point I saw a rheumatologist who actually gave me a diagnosis. It wasn't until 4 years later that I found out what that diagnosis was. I could have been, you know, receiving treatment, you know, taking medications to help with my symptoms that whole time. But because, you know, the ball was dropped at one point between specialists, or between that particular specialist and my primary care doctor, you know, like, I had to spend those years questioning, you know, like, are my symptoms real? You know, am I imagining it? And, I mean, that's also a big reason why I'm a big advocate for, you know, making the job easier for doctors so stuff like this doesn't happen, so they can pay attention to the details. and also empowering patients to be able to look at their own record, ask questions, and if, educate themselves so they can direct their care.
And I think that's the one of the good things with regards to Epic being so the premise of it anyways, with that connectivity within the province, right? And like you said, being able to access your own medical record. You may not understand it, but at least it gives you a starting point to give you, it gives you, it does give you that point where you're like, oh, what does this mean? It's a conversation starter for
Exactly.
sure. Yeah. Okay, what's one piece of advice you wish you had received? So it could be career related, it could be just something that sparked as we're talking that you're like, oh, I wish somebody would have told me this. What would that be?
I wish I knew before that it's okay not to know what you want to do for the rest of your life. It's perfectly fine to choose a short-term career that will just allow you to pursue what you're actually interested in, so you can see if you can switch to that career later on. If I had to stay in microbiology, I guarantee I would not have much life satisfaction. I liked learning about it, but applying it in the workforce was not something I enjoyed. And if I didn't believe that it was okay to return to school to further your education, I wouldn't have gone to massage therapy. I wouldn't have gone to, medical transcription. I definitely wouldn't have thought, now I'm gonna, I'm like 45 years old. Like, I wouldn't be like, now I'm gonna start a diploma, So, I mean, it's okay to admit to yourself that you don't know all the answers that you want to find out. You're never too old to go back to formal education, and there's so many, there's a lot of financial aid in place. I mean, if you have to, I know a lot of people that are like, oh, I had to wait till my kids were more grown. Now I'm too old. I think it's great, that men and women are willing to put their career on pause to raise their family, which is an immensely difficult job. But then, always go back to yourself and be like, now it's time to focus on me. Because, I mean, a lot of people are like, if I sacrifice for my family, that should be a permanent sacrifice. But I mean, I can tell you that, studying with my daughter, like us comparing our grades and talking about the tests we just had, we're not studying the same thing. But I mean, it's another way to support them by showing, it's not always fun, but the grind pays off. It's more effective than me lecturing her, just to show her that, I'm sitting here. I don't enjoy it, but I'm sitting here studying because I want the good results. And so, my kid at least is she follows by example more than, by what you tell her.
That leads me to another question. I love when we just start talking and then questions pop up. What's the one thing that your daughter has taught you?
Oh my gosh. So it has benefited me, but it is also a terrible thing. I am a rampant perfectionist. It's crazy. But I see my daughters kind of learn that behavior from me, and then just how much anxiety it causes her, and just how little joy she gets out of her own accomplishments. And so, she was brave enough to ask my husband and I to start therapy for it because she recognized it in herself. And then that taught me that what I was doing, it wasn't good role modeling and it wasn't healthy for myself. And so, I mean, I don't know, I think it's crazy because in that, I feel like in that moment, like she did more parenting for me than I did for her. Like, and it takes a lot of balls for a kid to confront their parent and be like, like this thing you're teaching me is terrible for my health, So, no, I appreciate her a lot. Like she's not scared to speak her mind, which is something that I also hope to learn.
That's brilliant. I love the fact that, you're modeling on one end, but at the same, well, I think you're modeling both, right? You're modeling on one end, like showing her with studying, this is, this is a good space to be in, but on the other side, that you're open to feedback and you're receptive to feedback as well. So I
Oh,
think
I think it has
that's
to be, yeah.
really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't really have any other questions. I think the last one is, what is the one thing that has surprised you? I mean, you're getting ready to graduate. You're going to be taking the certification in October. What's one thing about health information that has surprised you?
It's so everything we're learning in school is coming from. It feels like it's coming from the assumption that you're either going to work in a hospital or like a doctor's office or for a health region at least, right? So when I had this opportunity to work for like a med tech company, I still had all those assumptions, like, oh, everybody knows what this is, but no, like I had a chance to talk to the company owner, and he's just like, yeah, I'm just doing, he's basically like, I'm talking to you as a favor. Like someone keeps telling me that you're going to be so useful to us. What can you do? And you start listing everything that you've learned about and that you know about, like requirements gathering for IT and from clinicians and, like regulatory compliance and legal and, business analysis. And you list all these things and you can see them checking all the boxes. Like, this is everything that we need right now, So, I mean, that was really rewarding. And so, I mean, I health information isn't that new in terms of like coding and like records management, but everything else in terms of like the technology end of it's still new information for so many different industries. And so, I mean, the opportunities that I'm seeing in all these other industries, like it's so much more than I thought would be available when I first started school. And so it's exciting to know that I can branch off somewhere, especially for a startup where, my need to always be doing something different will actually benefit me instead of, cause me to be distracted. So, yeah, like just learning about all the different opportunities, different areas, different industries that you can actually be a part of if you can sell yourself properly. Yeah, that was surprising.
And one last question, I promise.
No
What
problem.
industry, you're just giving me so many good questions.
Yeah.
What industry, let's just say you're graduated, you've gotten your certification. What industry sparks you the most that you think that if you could wave a magic wand when you're done and you're like, this is the industry that I want to start in, or this is the industry that's capturing my attention, what industry is that?
So I do want to work in medical technology. Yeah, like I'm hoping I'll find out for sure tomorrow, but what I've been hearing is that the company I've done my practicum with is interested in hiring me once they have position open. And so what I hope to do is like educate people about things like medical coding and like the research possibilities for any kind of health information, like the public health benefits and things like that. I mean, medical coding isn't just useful for hospitals. I mean, you can apply it to so many different areas in order to analyze trends, and to, optimize patient performance or, just make all these, I mean, the possibilities for discovery, for medical, significant medical discovery, I really do believe like a lot can be found in coded data. So if I can be a part of that and like really push that end of it in a non hospital environment, like that, I think that would be a really big accomplishment if I could do
Well, I feel like you can.
that.
I think that your personality will definitely lend to that, and not only that, but your passion, right? Your passion to want to not only serve the company that you're working for, but the patients on the other end. So, thank you so much. This has been my pleasure to sit and chat with you and to get to know you a little bit
Thanks.
better, and to find out that you're in Calgary. Maybe we will bump into each other on the
Oh,
street.
yeah.
Who knows? Thank you so
The
much. Well, we might, you never know.
city, I mean, yeah.
Thank you so much for taking time, and thank you for the evening appointment. I know sometimes time is a premium, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for reaching out. It was really fun talking to you.
Yeah, you too. You too. And just to let you know, once I'm finished writing the article, it goes to the editor at Chima. And then once she does her magical editing, she will send it back to you for a read through before they publish it. So you get the final say. You can change whatever you want or take things out at that point in time.
All right, sounds good. Thank you.
All right, have a great long weekend.
You too. Okay.
Thanks. Bye.